Country rich in history and culture. Australia's natives, known as Aborigines, are believed to have travelled across the sea from Indonesia 70,000 years ago. Europeans arrived in the 16th century. The Portuguese were first, followed by the Dutch and the English. Australian wildlife has a reputation of being cute and cuddly animals. Some of these fascinating animals include kangaroos, koalas, possums, dingoes, and Tasmanian devils. Animals that are unique only to Australia are the adorable wombats, the large, flightless three-toed birds called emus, and kookaburras, members of the kingfisher family, and in fact are the world's largest kingfisher. Modern Australia is host to people from all over the world. Indeed, the country is home to some of the world's most talented people. In literature, the author Patrick White is a Nobel Prize winner, and fellow authors Peter Carey and Thomas Keneally are recipients of the famed Booker Prize. In opera, Dame Joan Sutherland is Australia's best known diva. She was the undisputed coloratura soprano of her time. Nellie Melba was the world's biggest opera star at the beginning of the 20th century. In cinema, Australia is home to Oscar winners Mel Gibson, Russell Crowe and Nicole Kidman. Musically, the country has produced famous bands such as the Bee Gees, AC/DC, INXS and Midnight Oil. In 1993, sincere truth seekers invited Supreme Master Ching Hai to make a stopover during her 1993 World Lecture Tour to share her wisdom and insights about God and spirituality. Supreme Master Ching Hai graciously accepted their invitation. She also met with our association members during her time there to discuss about spiritual topics and answer questions about their practice in daily life. Please join us on Between Master and Disciple today for the lecture, The Supreme Method to Liberation, delivered by Supreme Master Ching Hai in Melbourne, Australia in March 1993.
You heard much about Yogananda, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now in his book he told a very funny story. Actually, he stole it from Bhagavad Gita, from Hindu religion. It's here, so I read it to you. It's a very funny story. I was a little bit busy. Forgive me. Because the people supposed to come early came late and all that. So we cannot refuse people sometimes, because I don't come here so often, and they are very good people, good journalists, right? They want to propagate the teaching, help to. They had a good intention, we cannot refuse people. Also, I like to see as much people as possible since I am here, to know what they want, yeah, to see how they live their life, whether they're happy or unhappy, if I can help them in any way, understand? So, if people come to see me for a true request or really necessary, I have to see them, right? So please forgive me, huh? If I came late sometime, huh? You see, the story was like this. I think I don't need to read, I know it. I know it here. You see, there was a man called Krishna, huh? Right? He has a lot of disciples, especially female disciples. He was very beautiful. Very, very beautiful and black. Black and beautiful. His face was a little bit dark complexion, yeah? And so people called him Black Beauty. Whoever just saw him once fell in love with him. Men, women alike, yeah? But don't think that is a kind of physical attraction. It's a kind of spiritual love. Everyone sees him, just love him. And of course, other women, they have not forgot their jealousy. Yeah, even though they follow any master, they keep their jealousy in the pocket. Therefore, sometimes they are vying with each other for his special attention. Yeah. But among all these female disciples, he especially loved one. He loved one female called Radha. And of course she was very beautiful. But apart from that, she had many other qualities probably other people do not possess. Not only the female, I mean including the male as well. Maybe she was very loving, very attentive, and knowing his mind before he even has to speak about it. Yes. Therefore, he loved her very much. Mm. And she took care of him in every way. Also, she loves him very much. And that everybody loves him, that's for sure. But both of them have special relationship. Yes, yes. Very loving toward each other and love each other very much. Maybe they're both very great and they know each other's mind. Understand? Mm. So now all the females, apart from their immediate enlightenment, they have a little jealousy in their corner of the pocket. Now they were thinking, what is the big deal, you know, about that Radha? She may be beautiful, but so am I. Master loves me most. Everyone thinks Master loves her most. But then when they saw Krishna always show a little more special attention to Radha, the female attendant, the jealousy which they hide in their little pocket popped up now and again, and they feel, what's the big deal about her? You know, what she do, I can do. But sometimes they cannot, because each one has a different affinity with the master. Also maybe each one has different personality and talents, you know, and the master use different person in different ways. Doesn't mean we are better than the other or other better than us, but we cannot everybody take care of the master. The master will be smothered to death. Understand? So therefore, only one take care of him and then everyone is jealous. Now, one day, Krishna could not bear this, you know, atmosphere anymore. So he intended to demonstrate something. Yeah. So he called all the female attendants. Just like this, huh? You know, we are having an assembly here. And then he pretended to have terrible headache. He said, oh, my head is, oh, it nearly split in two. Oh, I cannot bear, oh, this, oh, here, oh, oh, oh. He had headache, but sometimes he forgot, he hold his stomach, he said, oh, get hurt. Because he just pretended to have a headache, yeah? Sometimes a master pretends to have something or another or to ask some question in order to get closer to the disciples or to make them not afraid of the master or to encourage them in their speciality or different talents, understand? Not that the master don't know this subject or needed to ask your advice. Yeah, just different. Therefore, the Shakyamuni Buddha say, have to use 84,000 kind of methods. This is what it is, okay? So one of the methods called headache method. Krishna used it. He said, oh, my head, oh, it hurt here, yeah, oh, it was in, oh, hurt so much. And then everybody panicked. And then they asked Master, what can they do to elevate his suffering? Ah, the Master say, oh, if somebody would stand on my head, yeah, put, if a female, put the feet on the head of the master, yeah, of him, then he will get cured immediately. Would you please, one of you, come and do it? And they smell their feet. Oh, no. No. Maybe forgot to wash their feet for 3 days. Because too busy running with master lecture and distributing sample booklets. No. How can we dare to step on your head? You are God personified. You are God manifestation on earth. And you are our master, our dearest, our most beloved Sichuan, huh? The most reverent person in the world, on earth. How can we dare to step on your head? No. Anything we do for you, but not that. So Krishna pretend to get more headache. Oh, then I die. I would die. Oh, I die immediately. Oh, I might die tomorrow. I die today. I die tonight. I would die, and then all of you will be happy. And he lamented, and he make a lot of fuss. And a big theater he played. The female disciple just stood there, speechless, helpless, and how say, actionless. So just then, Radha, the female attendant, came. Yeah. And then when he saw Radha, he make even worse performance, you know. Oh, I'm dying. Oh, my head. Oh, I'm aching so much. Now it comes down here, it comes down there. Oh, I'm aching here and there. Oh, everywhere. He make more trouble. And he kind of, groaning a lot and make a lot of more miserable fuss. So now, then... And then Radha came. When he saw Radha, he make it worse, you know. He make it more terrible, yeah. And everybody turned to Radha when she came in. And Radha will ask, what's the matter? What is wrong with you? What can I do for you? And then Krishna related the same request, that my head is it's burning with pain, and please step on my head so that I can be relieved of the pain. Because that's the only way, you know. So Radha immediately step on his head. She didn't care whether she wore the shoes or not, whether she has bath or not, but she stepped on his head. And then Krishna immediately, so-called, relieved of the pain. No more pain, and was laughing and eating, I would say, blessed food. And Radha looked like nothing happened. But then all the females in the congregation started look at Radha with such eyes, you know, firing eyes, you know, like they're going to swallow her in one gulp, you know, make a soup out of her. I say, you dare, you terrible person, you disrespectful monster, we're going to. And then Radha say, what's wrong with you? We will kill you. And then Radha asked him, what's wrong, what have I done? Why you want to kill me? For the master, they're ready to kill. Even master say don't kill, but in that case, I forgot. Jealousy is very terrible and it blinds everyone. Then the people say, how dare you step on the most, revered head of the master? You don't know he's God. Huh? How dare you do that with your dirty feet? You lousy and you, everything, right? And then, for this, you will go to the lowest hell and suffer there forever. Tell you. And then Radha just smiled and said, is that it? That's all you worry about? Well, then don't worry. Because I would be smilingly, happily staying in hell if I can make him better, if I can relieve him for 1 second. Yeah, I'll be happily go to hell. So don't you worry about this. Yeah. So then, at that time, all the females suddenly understood
how selfless she is and how much she is devoted to the Master, even at the cost of her own spiritual attainment and happiness. So they all bowed to her. Excuse me, I'm sorry, thing like that. Yeah. So after that, everything's fine and okay. So, to do everything for the Master.
Understand? According to Indian philosophy, is the highest attainment, it's the highest devotion. Because sometimes we have different idea about how to serve a Master, right? We think we do this and that and others, but actually we don't do what the Master requests us to do. Understand? What is the problem in this? What's wrong with this? That we don't do what the Master requests. We go to hell? No. Will it make the Master angry? No. Maybe the Master pretend to be angry or scold you or something like that. Or whatever way the Master uses to open your understanding. Let you know that in this situation, where you are wrong. I try to teach you to become better next time. But the Master will not be truly angry inside. Understand? Just like loving parents are never truly hated their children. They just sometimes pretend to smack their bottoms or scold them or give them some kind of reprimanding in order to rectify the children, so make them become better person in the future. That's all. But parents always love children dearly. Now, so why is that if we don't obey the Master, that we are not a good disciple? Not because the Indian philosophy says so, but why? Why? We don't have to believe everything in the religious book, understand? We don't have to believe it just because the Indian scripture says so, or Krishna says so, or Buddha says so, or even the so-called Master Qinghai says so. But why? Do you think we should always obey the Master? Right, right, right. Yeah. If the Master knows everything, we should. Yeah. But in that case, it's against the rules. Like, the Master always teaches people, or you always know that you have to revere the Master and respect the Master. Even if you want to touch Master, in Hindu scripture, you touch the feet only. You not dare to touch upper, or you never, in Indian custom, you never sit, at the same level with Master or higher than Master. But why is it? And why we have to respect the Master and obey the Master all the time? Why is that? Why? Is that because tradition says that we don't obey the Master, we're no good? We're afraid of people saying we are bad disciple? No? Then why? Why? Yeah, maybe you have two or three, never mind. But why? Why is it good when you truly obey a Master?
Because Master knows absolutely what is good for us.
Right, okay, fine. Maybe he knows, maybe he doesn't. But why is that?
We will benefit from the doing to the Master.
Why do you always think of benefit? We are not into business. Anyhow, surely we benefit. But why? Just exactly why we have benefit?
Unity and discipline.
Right. Unity and discipline? Right, right. Yes, yes. That's union there. You're very exactly there. It's just that you don't express it more clearly. Like this. Self-restraint, right? Because we have no more ego. Ah, that's it. Not because Master say you have to obey the Master, so you do it blindly. It's just because your level is so high that doesn't matter what the master say, you just take it for natural that it's okay. You have no more, right, self, no more self. Your self is so restrained, yes, that you don't even have the ego anymore to argue with the master. Understand? We are absolutely lost ourselves in the unity with the master. Right? You understood that. It's very good, very good. Understand? Mm. Not because I say so, so you do it. It's just because at that moment your level is very high already. So you absolutely have no more discrimination. What the master say, right or wrong, whatever she does, right or wrong. You understand? You just know it's right. And according to the circumstances, you do it. You don't always tread on the master's head just to show that you have no ego. Or that you are one with the master, that you don't have discrimination. But in that case, if the master requests it, and if it's truly necessary, you do it. That's the best practice. Yeah. But in order to be able to do that, we have to have this high level. It's not that because I say you to do it, then tomorrow you do it. No, very seldom. You say, yes, yes, I understand everything. I do whatever you say. And then tomorrow, but that I won't do. That cannot be. Yes, and then your brain, your ego start to confuse you, start to make you trouble. Because the habit, understand? Because since childhood we learn that this is no good, that is no good, and the master is like this, the master should be like that, the master cannot wear this, the master cannot speak like that. Understand? So when we confront with this similar situation, we immediately have this prejudice, yes, or preconceived notions about what a master should be, what a master should say, or what anyone else should do and should say in such circumstances. But we don't consider the differences between the background, understand? Just like Jesus said, just one sentence, enough for everything else. Like if somebody steals because hunger, steal bread because he's hungry, he's not guilty. So every scripture says you don't steal, right? You don't steal. Whatever don't belong to you, you don't take. But if he's hungry, he's okay. He preserved his God inside, right? He doesn't mean to do harm, but he has to preserve his kingdom inside, or his God, if he need it. So I told you also the story of Kabir, that he sold his wife for a few chapatis just to feed his fellow practitioners when they came to see him, and then his house was not enough flour. So now that against our five precepts, right? Yeah. No adultery, right? No other sexual relationship. But he would be willing to sell his wife just for chapatis because his fellow practitioners were hungry. So you will not say he's a bad guy? Yeah? And you will not also accuse his wife for committing prostitution or anything? Understand? So the situation is like that. We learn much in the Bible and in any scriptures, but we do not put it into practice. Why do we absolutely obey the master? Just because we are already in a high level. Or at least we train ourselves to restrain ourselves, ego self, until we reach that effortless self-restraint. I mean, we don't restrain. We are self-restrained, but we don't even make effort to do it. That's the best way. Yeah? And then whenever we confront with any similar situation in life, we immediately have the correct answer from our wisdom. Yeah, we train a new habit that is very flexible. From previous lifetime and life after life, we have been trained in a very rigid framework that whenever you see this, you will do that. If somebody steal, it's no good. If somebody sell the wife for bread, chapati, no good. Any that kind of wife, no good, etc. This is very rigid law of the world. The world has its law, and the universe has its own law. God has loving law. Therefore, accordingly, God forgives us. God is the most high power within ourselves, the supreme power. which sees everything as justice, not as the appearance of things. Therefore, whenever we came in touch with the highest power through a master, we are forgiven of all sins. Doesn't matter how bad, how heavy that sin will be. Understand? Because the loving power sees things through justice. This justice sees that if you kill someone, not because you hate him, it's just probably last life you killed you. He killed you. Or accidentally. Or that man has to be killed that day. But not like this, we go out and kill at random. Understand? Don't try to bend my teaching into a thing that suits the societies, which is not true. What I mean is, when we truly do things without knowing, without the wisdom of God, after we come into contact with this highest power, it's forgiven. Because that wisdom, that power, will rectify everything that was wrong. And then forgive us everything, because we truly repent. And we truly know that we did not know. And then we repent, and we become humble, and we request for forgiveness and wisdom. Then at that time, of course, the highest power understands and try to teach us the better way. Understand? So, to obey the master doesn't mean always giving a lot of food and fruit and making her house become a supermarket of all kind of things. But to do what is requested, what is beneficial to the master and for the whole mankind. Because what benefits the master will benefit the society, the human beings at large.
We truly appreciate your presence today on Between Master and Disciples. Please tune in tomorrow for part two of this fascinating lecture. Coming up next is Planet Earth, Our Loving Home. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television. May the season of joy warm your heart with love and caring.